I think too often there is this sense that we are restricted somehow to a sort of authorized set of materials that does not actually have anything, any grounding in anything the Imam has actually said.
Now, in keeping with our larger vision to tap the broader Jamaat and our experienced intellectuals for their insights, what in your opinion are the top two or three challenges, whether it be administrative, social, societal, intellectual, educational, or any other area you feel that the Jamaat faces today?
I think there are two interrelated areas that I would speak to here. First, more broadly, and as I already mentioned here, the importance of religious education for our youth. And, you know, this is something the Imam has put enormous amount of resources into in recent years. And I think it is something that is going to require a very high investment, not only on the part of our institutions, but from our parents as well, that we need to appreciate, I think, that for a lot of our older generation, again, who grew up in Islamic environments that simply, perhaps by a process of osmosis, you just kind of gain certain knowledge more broadly about Islam from being in that environment, that our kids here today are not going to learn things that way. They have to be taught, and we can't take it for granted that they're going to learn certain things.
Because of the environment they're in.
Exactly. So I think we need to, and this is, I think, something I have really noticed in the materials that the IIS has been producing under the Imam's direction, that there is a focus not only on learning about Ismailism, but about learning about Islamic civilization more broadly, that we need to become comfortable as Muslims. And I think this points to my second challenge, which is that we need to find a way to become less defensive about our position within the broader Islamic world. Okay. That I think as a Jamaat, we are very comfortable speaking to other religious traditions. We represent a sort of vision and model of Islam that is found to be very appealing by members of other religions. We're very comfortable engaging in interreligious dialogue. But I worry sometimes in speaking to other representatives of the Muslim community that we are less comfortable, that our youth especially feel like they simply don't have the tools to be able to speak knowledgeably about their tradition. And I think we, in the same way that we speak about religious pluralism in a broader sense, we really need to embrace the idea of pluralism within the Islamic tradition. That I think too often we allow others to set the terms of the debate, you know, that there is one correct way of being Muslim. And I think we need to be more confident, not necessarily aggressive, but more confident in our standing within the tradition, and to really insist on the fact that there is a room for plurality within the Muslim community, just as there is more broadly within the human community. This is something the Prophet himself repeatedly asserted, that diversity within my community is a benefit, that this is something.
And the Imam.
Of course. And this is where also I think learning about, more broadly about Islamic history and about learning, for example, the practice of Islam historically among the Kazakhs, something I teach about in the courses I teach at Nazarbayev University. Among the Kazakhs, among other nomadic peoples, there was a way of practicing Islam that was very, very different from how other Muslims practiced. You know, that was not centered on going to mosque, that did not necessarily embrace the same type of traditions, but that at the same time was also consciously Islam, that was also consciously part of the Islamic tradition. And I think we, as Ismailis, can learn from this as well by really looking at the great diversity of ways that Islamic practice has manifested itself today and throughout history, and to not feel like we have to play on someone else's terms, you know, that we can assert our own position and standing within the Muslim community.
For some of these challenges you mentioned, and for the most important challenge, can you offer any insights, suggestions, and solutions as to how the Jamaat can start to address them in perhaps ways we haven't tried before or new ways?
Well, I think one of the most important things is the type of work that you are doing with this website, with these new online media platforms. By exposing the Jamaat to a broader array of materials, of creating platforms for the exchange of ideas, I think too often there is this sense that we are restricted somehow to a sort of authorized set of materials that does not actually have any grounding in anything the Imam has actually said. And I think we really need to take the opportunity to read as widely as possible, to look to other examples. And again, I know I've mentioned this repeatedly here, but to embrace an academic study of religion beyond simply the Ismaili tradition, to really look more broadly at other interpretations of Islam, at other ways in which religion has functioned within human society, and to think about what sort of models that may present for us, what sort of opportunities that can present for us as a Jamaat today. And yeah.
So finally, Hazrat Imam often asks the Jamaat and the leadership to think about their vision for the future, vision for the community for the future, specifically in 25 years. But we normally talk about these in general terms. Could you name a specific objective, perhaps, you can see the community achieve, let's say, in 25 years, and what insights or even suggestions would you give to help them address and even achieve this vision?
I think one step we can really take as a Jamaat is to continue this exploration of the role of Ismailism more broadly within Islamic civilization. Because I really think the youth, for those who are growing up in the West today, I think what they really need more than anything else is to feel a sense of confidence in their status as Muslims. You know, because one of the things I've learned through my research, as I mentioned here, there's this interesting question that we find if we look at the past of, you know, what does it mean to be an Ismaili in predominantly non-Muslim environment, right? So at the time when Nasser Khusro, at the time when the peers in India were preaching, it was a time when Islam itself was still in an early period of development within these societies. And to be an Ismaili at that time meant more fundamentally to be a Muslim. For most non-Muslims, the sort of distinction between Sunni and Twelver and Ismaili, right, these were not so relevant. The bigger distinction there was between Muslim and non-Muslim. And I think we find ourselves in a very similar position today, where for people coming from places like Pakistan or Tajikistan, those type of distinctions are very important. You know, you can be an Ismaili in Pakistan, that means something. But to be an Ismaili in America means first and foremost to be a Muslim. And that might seem obvious, but I think there's a lot of consequences for that in terms of how we think about our identity.
Absolutely.
And I think this is really the major challenge for our youth moving forward, is how to really have confidence and ourselves as Ismailis, but also as Muslims, and how to really assert a place for ourselves within the broader Muslim community, and how to serve as ambassadors, not only for the Ismaili Tariqa, but more broadly for the Muslim Ummah, for the Muslim community. And so I think this is something that the Imam has really directed our educational efforts towards. But again, it's going to take a lot of our own initiative as well to really read more broadly, to really go out and engage with sources of knowledge about the Islamic tradition and to gain that sort of knowledge that we're going to need moving forward.
Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sahel. This has been really nice talking with you.